This reading can be taken from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. This can be found on page 1111 of the Pew Bible. Timothy joins Paul and Silas. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, they got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of them listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord.
Please, would you stand for our gospel reading?
The Gospel reading is taken from Matthew 28, starting at the 16th verse. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Take a seat. I think we've almost reached the South Pole. So I think we're going to see where our intrepid explorers have got to.
Well, everyone, I think this is it.
We've made it.
The South Pole.
Well done, everyone. Yeah.
Hello.
Sorry, I've forgotten. Why did we come here again?
You're supposed to be our leader.
I know, but it's been a long week.
To install the satellite dish to complete the captain's global communication network.
That's right, I remember. The captain gave me the satellite dish. Ah, here it is. Right, now, all we need to do is call an engineer to get it installed. Oh, now, wait a minute. That's not going to work. Huh, I hadn't really thought about that. We've come all this way to the South Pole to install a satellite dish. I hadn't really thought about how we were actually going to install it.
Don't worry. I'm sure the captain has provided an instruction manual or something. He's always provided everything we need. I'm sure he's thought of this.
He has. I can install it. I'm a qualified engineer.
Hello.
You?
Yes, what's wrong with that?
Well, nothing. It's just... aren't you a little bit young to be a fully qualified engineer?
Everyone says that, but the captain has taught me you're never too young. I've always been into telecommunications. I've spent half my life on my phone, so I studied hard and I qualified early.
Well, if you say so. Okay, here. Do you really think that Gail's a fully qualified engineer? I still think she's too young.
If there's anything we've learnt this week, it's that you're never too anything to be on the captain's team. You of all people should know that.
You're right. I thought I'd made too many mistakes to be of any use to the captain, but he made me the team leader.
I thought I was too ordinary to be useful at anything, but I learnt that I was good at some things, like cooking and looking after the supplies, and that those things you think are really ordinary, they're really vital to the team.
After I tried to stop you from getting to the South Pole, I felt very bad at the... Captain, give me a second chance to be part of your team.
And you've proved what a good team member you can be.
It just goes to show, even the most unlikely people can be a part of the captain's team. Hello?
Well, the satellite dish is up and running. Now anywhere in the world can contact the captain for help.
Good morning, Polar Explorers.
Great Scott!
Yes, that's me.
Morning, Captain.
Morning, Captain.
Hello.
Well done on reaching the South Pole and installing the satellite dish. Now, anyone who needs my help will be able to contact me. If people are lost, I can help them find their way home. And I can make sure they have what they need to survive, whatever place they're in.
That's great, Captain. But I still don't really understand. This is the South Pole. It's the coldest and most dangerous place on Earth. Surely the only people here are explorers like ourselves.
You'd be surprised. Often the coldest and most dangerous places are where my help is needed most. In fact, I'm already getting a distress signal from someone quite close to where you are. I'd like you to go and check it out.
Us? But I thought we completed our mission.
No, your mission is just starting. The satellite dish may mean that everyone in the world can contact me, no matter where they are. But not everyone knows how. I need you to show them, and the people you show can join your team and show others until everyone's got the message.
Okay, Captain, you can count on us. So, where do we need to go to answer this distress signal?
Actually, the signal's moving towards you. They should be with you any moment.
Ice creams! Ice creams! Get your ice creams here!
An ice cream seller in the South Pole. Seems unlikely.
Don't worry, we're here to help. I'm Ed, Ed Wind.
I'm Gail, Gail Force.
And I'm Kay, Kay Tringstaff.
This is Hans, Hans Afroesen.
Hello.
He's from Norway. He doesn't speak much English.
Hello.
Except hello.
And this is Frosty, the not-so-abominable snowman.
Hello.
Hi, and I'm Pen, Penguin. How are you going to help me? Are you going to buy one of my ice creams?
Oh, no, thanks.
Not for me, thanks.
Well, the captain did say we were supposed to help. Have you got any ice lollies?
No, Ed, haven't you learned? If you lick that, your tongue will get...
unstuck.
Not again. Yeah. Well, at least you know what to do this time.
Yeah, warm water.
So, what are you doing selling ice creams in the South Pole anyway?
The South Pole? Is that where I am? Oh, well, to tell you the truth, I got a bit lost. I've lost my way a bit. Well, I don't... Well, I was wondering why business was dropping off.
I've got an app for that. Can I see your phone? There. I've installed the Great Scott for Am I app. Now you never need to be lost again.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was nothing.
Just wait until I show my friends and family that. They'll be blown away. How can I ever repay you?
Well, we do need somewhere to shelter for the night and to stock up on our supplies.
No problem. You can all stay at my house. It's actually not that far from here. And we've got loads of food and supplies.
How very splendid. That's very kind of you.
I thought you couldn't speak any English.
Except hello.
Well, I've been practising with the captain's translation app, and I've increased my vocabulary considerably.
Well, come on then, let's go. What do abominable snowmen eat anyway?
Well, coming from the South Pole, I like to eat penguins.
Oh.
But I can't get the wrappers off.
Hey, Gail, I'm sorry I doubted you earlier. I should have known you're never too young to be an important part of the captain's team.
Or too old.
Or too bad.
Or too ordinary.
Or too unlikely.
Or too anything, really.
Wow, the captain really does want everyone to be a part of his team.
Yep.
Let's tell everyone.
Everywhere.
In every corner of the globe.
You know, I still don't get that. Globes don't have corners.
There you go. We've installed the satellite. The captain can reach anyone, anywhere. And I think now, Paul, our great leader, is going to tell us a bit more about that.
Right. Okay. Sorry, I've got my notes. Right. So our polar explorers made it to the South Pole. Somewhat unlikely bunch, I think you'll have to admit. But with the right help, they've got there. And throughout the week, we've also been learning about another group of unlikely adventurers on another mission. It's a mission that began with our gospel reading today. The last words of Matthew's gospel. An ending, but really a beginning. Jesus sends his disciples out to make disciples of all nations. That's all. Just to make the whole world into followers of Jesus. And who is he sending to do this? A seemingly hopeless bunch of 11 misfits, including a load of fishermen, a tax collector, and some other completely unsuitable sounding people. And we looked at one of those on Wednesday. His name was Peter. Now, I need a volunteer. Do I have a volunteer? You can be any age. If you can't read, you'll need someone with you that can read. Does anyone want to come up? Brilliant. Come on up. Thank you, Amy. Right. Now, you're going to represent Peter for me. So if you stand on the step here, okay. Now, I'm going to give you this piece of paper, and it's got a message on it, okay? So I want you to look at the message. I want you to remember it and fold the piece of paper up again. You're not going to say anything yet. You're not going to tell anyone, and you're not going to show anyone, but it's for you at the moment, okay? So have a look at this message. Have a read. See what it says. Remember it. Don't share it with anyone else yet. Have you got that? Okay, can you remember that? I'm going to keep it in your head. Later on, I'm going to ask you to tell everyone what it said. But for now, just keep it to yourself, okay? So, Peter. Jesus gave Peter a message. And actually, Peter wasn't his real name. Jesus called him Peter because Peter means rock. And Jesus said that Peter was the rock that he was going to build his church on. Which must have seemed pretty funny at the time, because if there was one thing you could rely on Peter for, it was to get things wrong. Peter was one of those people who acted first and thought later. He was always making mistakes. I wonder how many of us can relate to that. Even when Jesus was arrested and about to be killed, Peter wanted to stand by him, but ended up denying that he even knew Jesus. 3 times. He felt pretty bad about that. But Jesus didn't give up on Peter. After Jesus went back to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to his disciples. On that day, Peter stood up and began telling people about Jesus. And 3,000 people became followers of Jesus that day. So we learnt that you can never make too many mistakes to be part of God's plan. So on Thursday, we looked at Stephen. So now I need another volunteer to be Stephen. Anyone down here? Anyone up there? Any age? Anyone want to come forward? Yes, come on, come on. Brilliant, come up. Okay, so you're going to be Stephen. So if you stand here next to Peter. So now Peter's going to give you the message that that Peter's already received. So you're going to have a look, read that. Same thing, you're not going to say it out loud. You're just going to have a look at it and try and remember it, okay? So do you still remember the message? Don't say it, but you can remember it, yeah? Okay, you got that. So keep that in your head. Don't say anything yet. Okay, good. So now, as the number of followers of Jesus grew, they started to come across some practical problems. Living the way Jesus had taught them meant doing things like sharing food so that everyone got fed properly, even if they were poor. Now, doing that in small numbers is easy, but doing that for a large group of people becomes quite a big task. And Peter and the others decided that they were too busy doing God's work to spend their time sorting food. So they chose 7 people to do it for them. And one of those was Stephen. Now, handing out food may not sound very glamorous, but it's a great way of showing people that God loves them. And Stephen was one of those people who just radiated God's love. Not everyone wants to stand in front of a crowd of thousands of people and speak like Peter did. But things that might sound quite ordinary by comparison, such as sharing food so that everyone has enough, are equally important. The Bible tells us that the numbers of followers of Jesus increased rapidly after Stephen and the others were given this job. So we learned that you're never too ordinary to be a part of God's plan. Then on Friday, we learned about Saul. So I need another volunteer to be Saul. Does anyone want to come up and be a volunteer? Any age? Brilliant, Barbara, excellent, thank you. Okay, so Barbara's going to be Saul for us. And we're going to do the same thing, so you're going to pass the message now onto Saul. You're going to read the message, don't read it out loud, just read it, keep it in your head, and you can share it later on, but just for now, remember it and hold on to it, okay? Now, Saul was not a follower of Jesus. In fact, he was the opposite. He was the greatest enemy of the followers of Jesus. He thought they were troublemakers, and he was doing everything he could to have them arrested and killed. And sadly, he was quite successful at this. Then one day, he was off to arrest more of Jesus' followers. He encountered Jesus himself on the road. He became blind. But Jesus sent one of his followers to help Saul. Saul could hardly believe that Jesus was giving him a second chance after all he'd done. But he was completely transformed and began making more and more people into followers of Jesus. So we learned that you are never too bad to be a part of God's plan. So what about today's story? Well, Saul, who we learnt about on Friday, became known as Paul. And Paul went on some journeys to make more people into followers of Jesus. The story Joanna read to us earlier was about one of those journeys. And there were a couple of people mentioned in that reading. Now, this is a good test of who was paying attention to the readings. Can anyone remember any of the names, apart from Paul, that were mentioned in the reading? Has anyone got one? Peter? Yeah, Peter wasn't actually in that story, so we've met Peter here. We've got Peter along. He was one of the other friends of Jesus, so he was one of Paul's friends. Anyone else that we haven't already spoken about that was mentioned in that story? Bit of a memory test. It was before the drama, a long time ago. Anyone got them? Timothy. Timothy was one, absolutely. Very good. And does anyone remember the other name? Lydia. I've had a Lydia from down there. Well done. Okay. Timothy and Lydia. So let's start with Timothy. So I need a volunteer to be Timothy. Anyone want to be Timothy? Any age? Old or young? Yes, brilliant, thank you. So here's Timothy. Okay, so same thing. So now Saul or Paul is going to pass you the message. Have a look at it, remember it, but don't say anything yet. We're going to share it at the end, okay? Okay, see if you can remember that one. Okay, so what do we know about Timothy? The passage we heard earlier tells us that the people in the place where he lived spoke well of him. So for once, this is beginning to sound like someone who should be a part of God's plan. Well, maybe one day. Because in another part of the Bible, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy and he says this: "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young." That was written sometime after Paul's visit to Lystra. So Timothy must have been very young then. Has anyone here ever been told they couldn't do something because they were too young? Has anyone heard that? Yeah, maybe when you're older, You think you heard that? It's frustrating, isn't it? Usually there's a good reason for it. But while some people may have looked down on Timothy because he was young, Paul didn't. Paul took Timothy with him on his journey. Because you're never too young to be a part of God's plan. Okay, so one more person. I need someone to be Lydia. I've got a volunteer to be Lydia. Anyone want to come up? Just one more volunteer. Brilliant. Thank you. Excellent stuff. So we're going to do the same thing. You're going to pass the message on. You're going to have a look at it, remember it, but don't say anything yet. Just this message is just for you at the moment. So have a look and remember it. Okay, great. So Paul and Timothy and their friends ended up in a place called Philippi, where they met Lydia. The Bible tells us that Lydia was a dealer in purple cloth, a busy, independent businesswoman, and probably very wealthy, because purple cloth was very expensive, and only rich people could afford it. This is their first time in Europe, and Paul and Timothy and the others need to find people who will help them spread the message and set up a church in Philippi. Is Lydia the sort of person you would expect to do this? If she's a busy businesswoman, how will she have the time to tell other people about Jesus? If she is wealthy, will she realise that she needs to know Jesus? Or will she think she already has everything she needs? And how will she feel about living the way the followers of Jesus did, by sharing everything that they have? And if she's a woman, what opportunities will she have to influence others? In those days, in that time and place, it was really only the men that talked about God. And it was usually men who decided, not just for themselves, but for everyone they lived with, what they would believe and what they would behave like. So Lydia seems like an unlikely choice to be the first follower of Jesus in Philippi. But the Bible tells us she responded to Paul's message, and that's what she became. But it doesn't end there, because the Bible tells us that the members of Lydia's household also became followers of Jesus. And that doesn't just mean her family. That means, as a wealthy businesswoman, her household would have probably included extended family, servants, staff, possibly business contacts. It could have been a lot of people. And though Lydia was unlikely, and there were one or two other unlikely people in Philippi, they started a church together. And we have letters to the church in Philippi later on in the Bible. So that became a thriving Christian community. And similar things happened in other places that Paul and his friends visited. The message spread as more and more people shared it. Now, my volunteers have also received a message. Can you all still remember what it was? I think you had it a long while ago now. It's passed a long way, but can you still remember it? Can you still got it in your head? Brilliant. Okay. So we're going to share this message further. So I'm going to count to three, and after three, I want you all to shout in a really loud voice what it said on the message. Are you okay with that? Okay. One, two, three. Jesus loves you. Absolutely. That's the message that the followers of Jesus were sharing. And that's the message that we've been trying to share this week. And now that you've heard the message, Jesus gives you the mission to go and make disciples of all nations. Yes, you. He wants you to be part of his team and to share his message too. Now, I know what a lot of you are probably thinking. Oh, no, he can't mean me. I couldn't do that. I'm too... Too what? Too prone to mistakes, like Peter. Too ordinary, like Stephen. Too bad, like Saul. Too young, like Timothy. Too unlikely, like Lydia. Too what? The truth is, you're never too anything to be a part of God's plan. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you for my volunteers.